Well, if you can make your way to your seats, we'll go ahead and get started. You know, there's sometimes you just got to do what the Lord tells you to do, right?
He makes it very uncomfortable when you don't.
Yeah, yeah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 40. As you all are aware, or most of you should be aware, we've been going through a series of sermons this summer called the Summer of Psalms. And we're making our way through Psalms slowly but surely. Obviously, we'll not be getting to all of them because there's too many to do in a summer, but we're going to be working through these as we go. A few years ago, I am an avid lover of music. I absolutely love music, any kind of music. I love anything from contemporary Christian music, which I listen to lots. Listen to this really new artist, this really kind of cool artist. His name is Jeremy Keeney. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's on Spotify. He's kind of cool. No, kidding. I give you a hard time, Jeremy. He is on Spotify, by the way. If you want to listen to his music, you can. But I also listen to rap, and I listen to hard, sometimes hard metal. You know, sometimes you just got to crank it up really loud. That usually happens when I'm either working out or having a really bad day, and I just need to drown out every other sound that I can hear. And so I'll turn up the radio as loud as I can. I'll listen to just about anything, honestly. And one of those artists that I like to listen to, and sometimes it's just older music. Sometimes it's really weird to say that the 80s music is old music.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, we're talking almost 50 years ago, some of this music, you know? And so I was listening a few years ago to U2. I don't know if anyone ever listens to U2 and Joshua Tree and some other wonderful songs, but they have a song called 40. And I was listening to the song, and it took me about the second or third time of listening to the song to realize, whoa, that's actually talking about a psalm. And I recognize in the words of the lyrics that this was the very words of the psalm that we are reading today. And so I was amazed. And so I went back and read through the psalm. And it's an interesting song, but it's also a very interesting psalm. By the way, if you ever go see a U2 concert, they do this as the last song in their set. And so they leave the stage as the whole entire crowd is singing, "How Long, Lord?" I mean, it's an amazing way to end a concert. And if you think of U2 and how popular they are, the difference of them and what they are doing through the psalm and getting people to sing a psalm. It's not usually often that you get a worldly artist, a non-Christian, I would say. Who knows, Bono could be a believer. But to find a band who isn't specifically a Christian band singing Scripture, and then having the whole entire crowd sing Scripture too. And I wondered how many of these people who are singing this even knew that they were singing Scripture. But the psalm itself is a very interesting psalm, and a psalm that I think we all need to read, and I want to spend some time addressing today. Because in the midst of the song, and also in the midst of the psalm, they talk about the pitch and the miry clay. You know, life today is full of troubles. Life today is full of pits. Life today is full of issues and tribulations and problems that we go through. But our faith allows us to go through those and make it all to the other side. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through the pits. Oftentimes as believers, I hear believers oftentimes saying, "Oh, Pastor Jason, you know, I'm a believer. That means I'm never going to have any problems." And sometimes I just have to laugh, really. I try not to laugh in people's faces, but sometimes it like strikes me and go, "That's funny." The truth of the matter is just because you're a believer doesn't mean that all of the troubles and tribulations and issues of life go away. What it means is that you have someone to go through them with, which is an amazing thing. But we find David in this psalm. David is writing Psalm 40, and as we find him reading and writing these words, we find him in the midst of doing, something has gone on. He has caused an issue again. David was, you know, for a man who is after God's own heart, we find that David oftentimes finds himself in trouble with God. And David has done something. And so we find David in the midst of this trouble and this tribulation saying these words. So I'm going to read it for you and then we'll pray and we'll jump in. Psalm 40 started in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. If I was really good, I'd be singing a Bono style right now because these are the very words that he sings, but I'm not going to do that. Nope, sorry. I don't fall to peer pressure, Jeremy. So
I'll give you 20 bucks.
I'll do it, okay.
I'll give you some M&M's.
I'm on an M&M fast, so I've been staying away from M&M's right now, so sorry. Usually I would take you up on that, but... He also brought me up out of the horrible pits, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, if you're an astute Bible reader, you'll understand that I just read, don't tell Pastor Chaz, but I just read out of the New King James Version. The reason why is because that's what Bono sings. So I'm following Bono in this example and using the New King James Version just to let you know. I'm kidding. I do like the way that this, the wording on this. It's not much different in the ESV as well. But well, let's pause and pray and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the miracles that you're doing right now in our midst. Lord, it's not because we have any power. It's not because what anything that we do. It's because of what you do, Father, in us. And so through the Spirit of God, we ask you that you just move in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies, Father. Help us to do your will. Help us to follow you. And Father, when we find ourselves in the midst of the miry clay, in the pit, can we look up and see that you are there to save us? Father, lead us and guide us today. Open our eyes. Holy Spirit, come into this place. Lead us and guide us and help us to see what you would have to us to learn through Psalm 40 today. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own words, but they would truly be your words, Father. As we look towards your guidance and your direction of how to deal with the issues of life today, Father, that every one of us at some point are either going through, are going through, will go through, or have gone through, Father. Lead us and guide us like only you can. Lord, let your words be my words. Let my words not be my own, but let them truly be yours, Father. And help us and guide us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The psalm starts out with saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. How many of you here today can say, I've been waiting patiently for the Lord for something? Now, if you haven't raised your hand, you're either not a Christian and you don't follow the Lord, or you're lying. So you can choose which one. Because every single one of us in this room has been waiting patiently or are waiting patiently for something. Whether it's a healing, right? Or it's a response to a situation, or it's something that's coming up in our life. We are all waiting for something. There's none of us that in this place can find ourselves not waiting for the Lord in something. Now, the issue here is that David has found himself in this problem or in this pit because something bad has happened. He has caused himself to find himself in a bad place because of a sin or something that he's done. He's made a mistake of some type, and so he's praying to the Lord to help him out of a situation. This horrible pit that he talks about later on, he says that I'm in this horrible pit. He drew me out of the pit. David is crying out to his Lord and Savior. See, sometimes in the midst of trouble and in the midst of situations, we have a hard time of seeing the Lord. We have a hard time of he just doesn't move fast enough, right? Sometimes we're like, Lord, what's taking you so long? I remember this past week, a few of us went to a dinner that HarvestNet Institute was putting on. I'm a graduate of HarvestNet Institute. It was a seminary that I went to. And I remember I was asked to share a little bit of a testimony about my life and what happened with me through HarvestNet. And I remember the time before we even started the church, as I was going to seminary, I was talking to my mentor, and I said to him, I said, listen, if I have to go out and I have to preach the word of God with a sandwich board on the road, I will do that. And he looked at me and he goes, you need to wait patiently for the Lord. Wearing a sandwich board that says the Lord saves and seeing out in the middle of the road is not a good way of winning people to Christ. It's a good way of dying, but it's not a good way of what you need to do. I remember other times in my life when my wife was pregnant with our daughter, and I remember my wife was in the hospital for 30 days, the last 30 days of her pregnancy with my daughter. And I remember laying down at night saying, oh Lord, where are you? I'm waiting patiently for you to come in and heal her and keep her safe. And at that time, we didn't know whether my daughter was going to be safe because my wife had gone into premature labor, and we were trying to decide the doctors were trying to decide, would the baby be strong enough to make it? I remember other times in my life that I just found myself on my knees praying to the Lord going, Lord, I need you to be here. One of the things that I'm not good at is being patient. I'll tell you that right off the bat. I have a hard time. So when David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, what is he saying? He's saying he's waiting for the Lord to move. See, because oftentimes what happens in the midst of trouble or in the midst of something that we're going through, what do? We try to make something happen. We push it. You know, I laugh because there has been times where we've needed something at home, and I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord goes, just wait. We'll get it. You'll get it. And I'm like, yeah, but it's so much easier to pull out Mr. Visa or Mr. MasterCard and go and buy it, right? But the Lord goes, no, just wait. Wait patiently. I can't wait patiently, Lord. You don't understand me. You know who I am. David goes on to say, he inclined to me and heard my cry. What is he saying? What he's saying here is that there's something that happens when you're waiting in the pit. When you're waiting in the midst of these troubles, when you're waiting in the midst of all these things, there's something that happens there. For much of the Psalms before this one, David is talking about waiting for an answer. If you go through, for example, if you read Psalm 37, he's talking about his answer that he's going to receive. I love Psalms 40 because it's a clear distinction that God hears us. All of these Psalms leading up to Psalm 40 have David crying out and saying he's crying, he's asking for something. In Psalm 40, all of a sudden David goes, I waited patiently, but the Lord heard me. And so there's a difference. And see, even David, the man after God's own heart, had questioned whether God had actually heard him. But God had heard him. See, too often we find ourselves in the midst of a miry clay and a mistake, an issue, and we cry out to God and ask him to rescue us, but it doesn't happen as fast as we think it should. Why? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, if God isn't moving right now, sometimes God, see, there's oftentimes in our lives that God will move immediately on things. It just, I mean, it's a wonderful thing to see God just immediately move. God comes to you and says, you need to do this, you go and do it, and you see God move. And then there's other times that God says, I'm not ready to move yet, and it's almost like a red light. And you have to continue praying. And then there's sometimes it's not just a red light, sometimes it's a yellow light. It's like, slow down. And just walk there and wait there. David cries out and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Whereas David is writing this in the midst of the trouble that he has caused himself, but also the midst of pressures from the outside coming on him. Some theologians believe that David is actually writing this psalm in the midst of the caves as he's hiding away from Saul, the king. And so when he talks about the miry clay, when he talks about being in the pit, he's truly in there. Why? Because he's hiding from people so he doesn't get killed. But what's going on here is that David is talking about this and he's saying, I need to stay here. I need to wait patiently. See, we as Christians need to learn to wait in the pit patiently. We need to wait because there's something that happens in the pit that we don't understand. See, too often we're so concerned with getting out of the pit that we don't stay in the pit and realize that the Lord is doing something to us in the midst of those troubles. See, when we're going through something in our life and we're going through trouble, we need to stop and we need to ask the Lord, Lord, why is it that I'm going through this? God does never ask you to go through something without a reason. You understand that? Now, the reason could be that you're dumb and you made a poor decision, right? I'm just being honest with you. There's times that, listen, I'm not the smartest man, Jenny. So there are times that I've made poor decisions and my poor decisions have come back to bite me in my backside. And I find myself in the midst of a miry clay or a pit because of the decisions I made. But even of those things, the Lord understands. See, if the Lord is in control of all things, which we believe he is, he even knows the stupid mistakes that you're going to make and allow you to stay in the pit to learn to recover from those decisions so that you can grow. Again, the Lord is wanting you to grow in all things. And he takes into account, listen, the Lord is smart enough to take into account your stupidity and all of the things that happen. Yeah, thank God. That's right. Amen to that. And so we have to understand that regardless of the reason why we're in a pit, when we find ourselves in the pit, we need to ask the Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be learning at this time? What is it that I'm supposed to be grasping hold of? What is it that you wanted to teach me in the midst of this time? Especially if the Lord has kept you in that pit for any period of time. Because if he's kept you in that pit, guess what? There's a reason why you're there. And so you have to ask that question, Lord, what is it that I want to learn? Because listen, the faster you learn that lesson, the better off you'll be. Because the Lord wants you to grow and he's going to take you from point A to point B and it's going to be a growth period. But if you don't learn what's happened in point A, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be back in point A for not too long after that. Because the Lord isn't going to allow you to go through life not living the way that he wants you to live. He wants to teach you how to be a better, he wants you to teach you how to be more like him. And if that requires you being in the midst of a pit, then so be it. The Lord loves you too much to pull you out of a pit without you learning why you're in the pit in the first place. And that's hard. But the truth of the matter is, we do this every day. If you have children, you do this every single day. You know it's not good for your child to have the fourth bag of cotton candy that my granddaughter had last night at our family reunion. And as we're sitting there and she's eating this fourth bag of cotton candy, I'm looking at my daughter going, she's going home with you, right? No, she's coming to spend the night at your house. I'm like, great. But the truth of the matter is that we need to learn to see what the Lord is saying in this midst. Today, if you find yourself in the midst of an issue or a pit of either your own doing or the doing of someone else, may I ask you to take note of what David did. Yes, it may seem like forever, but the truth is the Lord will be inclined to hear your cry if you wait patiently and you pray to him. What did David do? He didn't just wait there in silent. He prayed to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord, the verse says. I was in the pit, he said, and he inclined to me and he heard my cry. So David's in this pit. He's waiting for the Lord to return. He's waiting for the Lord to answer. One of the things that we often forget is that the Lord will answer. When you're in the midst of the pit, it may seem like forever. It may seem like years. But the Lord will answer. You have to be sure of that. You have to have confidence in that. When the devil in the world tells you that the Lord's not going to answer you, stay strong. The Lord will answer you. But ask him, while you're in the midst of that pit, what do I do, Lord? Where do I go? What do I learn? What are you trying to teach me in the midst of this pit? Verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. It's really interesting because David has this beautiful poetry in the way he writes things. And sometimes I think we read scripture and we don't realize that the poetry of what's being written there. And the reason why I want to call this out is because David starts out Psalm 40 with the solution. I was in the pit. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He gives you the whole entire picture of the story of what's happening. And then immediately after that, starting in verse 4, he starts to begin to tell you how he did these things. What were the steps that he had to make to get the Lord to hear him, to cry, hear his cry, and to help the Lord pull him out of these pits. And so the rest of this psalm, or the rest of what we'll be reading today, there's much more in Psalm 40, but what we're going to be reading here is the steps to get out of the pits. See, David hears from the Lord, and he writes in Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2 and 3, he says, this is what happens. But then he says, this is how I did it. And he starts with saying, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. What is David saying? Step number one, when you're in the midst of the pit, what do? You trust God. No matter what's going on in your life, you trust God. When the mountain before you seems huge, what do you have to do? You trust God. When all the problems that are going on in life, what do? You trust God. What do? When everything is coming against you, all of the life is coming against you, you trust God. It's my grandson, so that's okay. I understand. No. There's one thing I love to hear, and that's kids. There's no problem. Listen, don't ever feel ashamed if your kid cries in church. You know why? Because I'd rather hear crying church than old ladies singing. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. June just gave me a look. June's getting ready to get up and walk out. I'm sorry, June. I'm kidding. I'd rather hear babies cry. Because what does that mean? That means there's growth in your church. That means there's young kids here. There's families. If you're not hearing babies cry, then what's going on? Right? So we should learn to love that song. Okay, anyway, sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, all of those that took offense that I said that. I should not have said that. I'm sorry.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. But there is something that happens when we trust God. See, we can find ourselves being pulled away from God, or we can find ourselves to trust Him. That's our choice. In the midst of the storm, what are you going to do? You either trust God or trust yourself. Right? Because you're either going to try to pull yourself out of that pit, or God's going to pull yourself out of the pit. You got to make the choice. Which one are you going to allow to do? Are you going to follow God in His ways, or are you going to follow your ways in the world and how the world tells you to get out of the pit? Because at the end of the day, we all don't want to stay in a pit. No one wants to stay in the pit. No one wants to stay down and have all of these troubles. Everyone wants to be out of the pit, and I don't blame you. We all do. So you immediately try to get out of there. What do we do? We need to learn to trust God. David, when he writes a psalm, follows a common form of writing. As I said before, he starts out with the message and or the result, and then he goes into the steps. But David says, the man who trusts in the Lord is blessed. And then he goes on to say, not to rely on the proud or the people who lie. I'm going to pause there just for a moment because, listen, the worst advice you can take is from the other people that are in the same pit you are. Too often, I have seen people that rely and learn and listen to the people that are in the very pit that you are. Have you ever asked yourself, if you knew the way out, then why are you here too? It's those who have been outside of the pit, who have gone through that, that can speak to you, into your life, and that should speak into your life. That's what's called discipleship. That's why we look for people who have gone through life and can disciple others who are learning and growing. There's that process of discipleship that goes on. But it's very clear. David says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. What are the lies? The lies are, oh, you can do it. You got the power inside of you. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. I don't care how powerful of a person you are. I don't care the knowledge that you have. Without the Lord's help, you will be in that pit for a very long time. It's the Lord who will pull you out. That doesn't mean that he doesn't use the intelligence that he's given to you, because he's blessed you with intelligence and he's blessed you with skills. And that's how we eventually work our way out of the pit. But we have to learn to trust in him. That means we have to learn to say, Lord, I don't like where I'm at, but I trust you where you have me right now. I don't like being in the middle of the pit. I don't like being in the miry clay. I don't like having my feet stuck to the ground and it stinks and it's wet and it's gross and all of this stuff. But while I'm here, I trust you. I'm here for a reason, whether it's my reason, the mistakes that I made, the things that I said, or some other reason why I'm here, I trust you and I'm just asking you to lead me. Those are some big words to say, but it's ones that we must learn to say, because it is only when we trust in the Lord that he will give us the answer to deliver us out of the miry clay. I want you to understand something. Just trusting the Lord doesn't mean that you won't go through the miry pit. David trusted in the Lord, and he was still in the pit. Just because, listen, we have to stop viewing negative experiences in our life as bad things in our life. Amen. It reminds me of the conversation we had earlier today. Experiences in life, bad, good, or indifferent, should lead you to be in a better version of yourself, a better version of Christ in the future. And those experiences should be the stepping stones on which you build the steps to walk out of that miry clay and that pit. But you have to be willing to go through those things. When I hear someone say, you don't want to know about my past. It's such a horrid past. I went through all these things. No, you know what? I do want to hear it. You know why? Because your past is who you are today. Amen. The things that you went through help you get to where you are today. And that's okay if you use them for the right reason. If you allow the past to keep you in the midst of that miry clay, doing the same stupid things that you've always done all your life, then no, those are not good things. But if you take those things that you did in the past, those mistakes, those problems, those issues, all of those things, and you build upon them and it builds you closer to Christ, then they are a good thing. It's really a different thinking process. We have to change our minds to think about that. I once told someone the Lord loves you so much that he's going to allow you to go through trouble. And they looked at me like, what? I said, exactly. The Lord loves you enough to not leave you in the place that you're at. And so he's going to allow things. This is really hard sometimes to explain, and I don't know if I have enough time to do it. But the Lord, theologically speaking, is going to allow you to suffer here on this earth. No one likes to hear that word, and no one likes to experience that. But he does that so that you can grow closer to him and understand the sweetness of the reward that he gives to us in the end and also in this life today. And so as you're struggling through something, what I found trusting in the Lord in the midst of a miry clay is to say, thank you, Lord, for putting me right here where I'm at right now. I don't like it. It's ugly. It stinks. It's dark. Brett, I didn't say she was ugly. I said it was ugly. Sorry, that's a personal joke between us. So, but in the midst of that trouble, it's bad. I understand that. But thank you, Lord, for putting me here, because that means you're going to do something in my life to bring me out of it, because the Lord always wants us to grow and to be better than what we were before. And so we have to traverse through those issues to get closer to him. And that means trusting in him beyond just the good things. It's easy to trust in the Lord when all things are going all right. How about when things aren't going so good? Can you trust in the Lord then? Can you trust in his plans? And say, all of my plans are shot. None of them worked out, Lord. What's going on? Can you trust him then? You should, because he will pull you out of that pit. Verse 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, They are more than can be numbered. I want to read that again, just so you understand. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts towards us. What is David doing? David has just made this idea that he's trusting in the Lord more than anything. And then what does he do? He jumps right into immediately recalling what the Lord has already done for him. Why? Because David is saying, listen, I'm in the midst of this pit. I'm in the midst of all of these problems. I'm having all of these issues. But I trust you, Lord. I trust that you're going to get me out of here. Why do you trust in the Lord? Because of all of this list of things you've already done for me. When you're in the midst of trouble, when you're in the midst of a situation, the best thing you can do is start recounting what the Lord has already done for you.
Listen,
count your blessings one by one, right? My wife was up here, she'd finished that song, but I'm not going to do it. But the truth of the matter is that if we count our blessings, if we look back on all of the things that the Lord has done in our life, guess what? It gives us strength to say, I'm going to get out of this. Why? Because the Lord has pulled me out of all of these things before. And so where I find myself today is where I need to be. So the Lord is going to guide me out of this. And he's going to pull me out of these things. And he's going to take me from point A to point B. Why? Because he's done it before. He's trying to get us to recall exactly what the Lord has done for him, or for us. And David says, again, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts towards us. But then he says, your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know, I oftentimes stand up here and I tell you about things that have happened in my past. And why do I tell you those things? Because they are encouraging me that the Lord once moved and he'll move again today. He moved back then. He can move right now. And I have to sometimes, we need to be reminded, sometimes in the midst of the miry clay, in the midst of all of the trouble, in the midst of the issue, in the midst of all of the what seems the walls caving in, we have to remember, the Lord is good. I trust in him. He's moved for me before, he'll move again. Over and over and over again, if you look at the people of Israel, what did they do? They recounted the Lord's goodness in their life because they were facing troubles on a daily basis. They were running into the... what? The Lord delivered them from Egypt. And then what happens? The Pharaoh runs after them. They're stuck between the Pharaoh and the Red Sea. What happens? He parts the waters. But before he parts the waters, they begin to recall the goodness of who God is. In our life, we need to, when we find ourselves up against the Red Sea, or we find ourselves in the midst of a trouble or an issue, we need to remember back when the Lord has done things. Now, here's the issue, and that I want to tell you, is most Christians can't recall what the Lord did for them 5 minutes ago, let alone what he did 5 years ago. Why? Because oftentimes we look back at our life and said, oh, that was a wonderful thing that happened to me, but we never give the Lord the credit for what happened. Do you know the very breath that you're singing, or singing, that's the kid singing, the very breath that you're breathing right now is a blessing from the Lord, and you should thank him for that. I paused and I'm thinking, my aunt who passed away this last week said those very words to me, so when I said that, it just struck me real quick. She was great at remembering what the Lord... Her life was always a little difficult in terms of health issues, but she always said, the Lord has given me a breath to breathe, and as long as I sing, as long as I breathe every single day, I will thank him for that. But do you know, in the midst of your life today, that the Lord has blessed you? We don't see the number of blessings that the Lord has given to you today. The Lord has saved you today just on your drive here to this place. The Lord has saved you and given you the opportunity to be here. He's planted you in a country that allows us to meet freely like we do today. That alone is a blessing that should be worthy enough to praise him. We are breathing today. That's another blessing that we should be thankful for, God. We have to sometimes, listen, I know that in the midst of the trouble, it can become overwhelming and it can press in on us and we can think that the world is not worth living and I just need to be done with this and I'm tired of this, but we got to stop that thinking and say, look what the Lord has done for me because he has saved us. He has saved you, my friend. And so understand that. Trust in him. And say, I'm going to continue going forward. I don't like where I'm at. Listen, no one said that you have to like being in the pit. We just have to trust him that he once moved in our life and he will move again. And begin to count those blessings one by one. When I find myself in a bad mood, one of the things, you know, I used to suffer with really bad depression. Just a few years ago, actually. And through counseling and some other things, I spent some time with a counselor, and he said, a Christian counselor, and he said, Jason, you got to remember. He actually reminded me of this verse. He goes, you got to remember what the Lord has done for you. And so one of my learning experiences is that when I'm going through trouble and it's a difficult situation, I start recalling what the Lord has done. Start recalling the things of what he's done in my life, what the things he's done in our church and where he's done, and just the miracles and the many blessings that we've seen. And you know what? It's hard to stay depressed and mad when you start recalling just how good God is. Amen. Doesn't change the situation. You're still in the pit. I get that. I understand that. But our mindset, see, it's a lot about what's going on up here. We have to trust in him and recall these things. They are more than can be numbered, is what David says. Start realizing that you have more blessings than what you can number. And start calling them out. If you have to, Miss Tanya a few years ago, this is a Thanksgiving message, right? On Thanksgiving, we always see in the month of November, I'm going to list out the things I'm thankful for, right? You don't have to just do that on the month of November, by the way. You can be thankful every day of the year. And so I encourage you today. I know some of you are sitting there going, you don't know my life, Pastor. Yes, I do. I do. And I don't care if it's the worst life. I don't care if you live under a bridge in the middle of nowhere. And we live in Ravenna, Ohio, so that's pretty close. But no, I'm kidding. I love living in nowhere, by the way. Let me just tell you that. But in the midst of those trouble, in the midst of all of those things, I don't care if you're in the, I really don't. You have something to be thankful for. Show me someone who's thankful for what the Lord has done in their life in the past, and I'll show you someone who won't be in that pit for very long. Because you'll recount what the Lord has done, and he will pull you out of it. So let's recall what he did before for us. The question really gets to is, can you praise God for in your pit today because of what he did for you before? You're not going to praise him for being in the pit. I get that. Thank you, Lord. It's such a wonderful place. All of this moss and mold and gross stuff that's on the walls and the spiders and the grosses and the yuck, all that stuff. I get that. No, I'm not going to do it again. I did it once. You have to go back and listen to it online. But we have to learn to thank God for what he did before, and then we can trust him where we're at today. Verse number 6, the sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Man, I wish I could just preach on this section of verse for the rest of the year, because there's so much amazing things in this. Can I tell you that David is writing this some 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, or come to earth for the first time? And what does he write about? He writes about the scroll of life. What, you know what the scroll of life is? If you weren't raised in the old Baptist church, it's the book of life that you want your name written in. Because if your name's not written in the book of life, guess what? You're going to hell. Sorry, my Baptist roots from my days in my Baptist church came out. But that's what David is talking about. David is talking about his name is written in this scroll of life. He's talking about my name is there. I am secured because of my relationship with him. But this is what David is writing, and we have to understand. David is talking about all these things. And what is he really talking about? He's talking about being obedient. You want to get out of the pit? Guess what you got to do? You got to be obedient. Now, there's a word that will win you points, Pastor, let me tell you. You talk about being obedient, everyone's like, shut off, right? David actually says, sacrifice an offering you did not deserve. Can I tell you that David, listen, do you know what sacrifice and offering meant to David? Today, when we talk about sacrifice and offering, as soon as you say offering, what do people think? Oh, what Jay does when he stands up here and they pass the plate around, that's offering, right? We think about that. But this time, when David says this, sacrifice and offering, what David is talking about, sacrifice and offering was the only way that they could have their sins forgiven at this time. Do you understand that? This was the covenant that they were under. So this meant everything. This was more than just giving a few dollars in a plate or whatever change you had in your pocket. This was, I need this sacrifice. I need this offering. Because if I don't have these things, guess what? I don't go to heaven because my sins aren't forgiven. So this is really important. So when David says, you do not... Let me read this. He says, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. This is a huge thing. This isn't something little. What David is actually saying is, listen, everything else that we talked about, forget it. What the Lord wants you to do is be obedient. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to do the things that he's asked you to do. David is saying these things because, see, listen, just like today, back then, there are people that think they can buy their way out of their sin, buy their way out of the pit, because if they give the Lord enough money, or if they just work hard enough, if they just go and they do a little bit more, and they just offer a little bit more, if they just sacrifice a little bit more, that's all that the Lord needs. And you know what he says? I don't care about your offering. I don't care about your sacrificing. I want your obedience. Obedience is following God, even when you don't feel like it. It's following God. Listen, if we were obedient to the Lord in the first place, guess what? Many of us wouldn't find ourselves in the pit. But we find ourselves in the pit because we weren't obedient, and then we were, Lord, help me, I'm stuck. Well, yes, your dumb decisions that got you there. I'm sorry. David said that the things that changed when he delighted in doing the will of God was being obedient to him. David is saying that when he became obedient to do what God was asking him to do, God lifted him out of the pit. See, oftentimes we find ourselves in the midst of the pit because God is trying to get us to be obedient. No one wants to hear that. But do you know the Lord will allow you to fall into a pit? So that you become obedient to following him. That means you have to suffer the consequences of your actions, even though they are forgiven on the cross, your sins are forgiven, you still have consequences, and the consequences of your actions you're going to have to pay for, because you're going to have to go through those consequences, because the Lord is going to make you do that, because he doesn't want you to be disobedient. He wants you to follow him and be obedient. And until we get our... until we get our minds moving in the right direction in obedience towards him, sometimes the best thing that he can do is leave us in that pit. David says that, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. See, David knew the ways of the Lord. David was a man after the Lord's own heart. David was the man who faced the giants. David was the man who knew what he was anointed as king. David didn't have to do any of this stuff. David could have said, I'm king. I'm doing what I want to do. The Lord has anointed me. What did he do? No, he humbled himself to be obedient before the Lord and followed him. So listen, let me tell you something. In the midst of the pit, the best thing that you can do is be obedient. The best thing that you can do is look towards the Lord and say, Lord, If there's anything in my life that I'm out of alignment with you, if there's anything in my life that I'm disobedient to you, Lord, show me today so that I can be obedient with you. It is why I told you just a few weeks ago, we should be praying that the Lord convicts us of the things that are wrong in our life. Why? Because no one wants to stay in the pit. If we ask the Lord for conviction, then we can be led out of that. Be obedient to Him. That's what the Lord really wants you to be. Obedience, listen, is better than sacrifice and offering. You don't have an offering to give. You don't have a sacrifice to give. That's okay. Be obedient to the Lord. And when you're obedient to Him, the Lord will move in your life. And He will pull you out of that pit. David says, burnt offering and sin offering you do not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I come. Where does he come? He comes to Jesus. Jesus was there, but he wasn't here on this earth yet. But he comes before the Lord. And he says, I delight to do your will, O God. And your law is within my heart. See, being obedient means that you delight to do what the Lord tells you to do and not what you want to do. And his law is more important than what you think is right. Too many Christians are making the mistake today and saying, oh, the Lord would never ask me to do that. That's unloving of the Lord. Well, guess what? Your opinion doesn't matter. And I say that in all love. What matters is God's opinion and what he says. That's what matters. And David says, I delight to do your will. Do you delight in doing the Lord's will? That's the question. You want to get out of the pit? Trust God. That's the very first thing you have to do. Second thing you have to do is you have to look towards him and you have to remember and look back and remember the goodness of what he's done and saying that he will do it again. And then the last thing you need to do is be obedient and ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want my will. I don't want my will to be done. It is why Jesus tells his disciples in the Lord's Prayer, it is not my will be done, but your will be done. And he says, David is saying, be obedient. Let go of your will. Have your ears open so you hear what the Lord is saying. Delight to do his will. And your law is within my heart. Simple truth is that too many people don't understand that your disobedience probably put you in that pit in the first place. And so you have to be obedient to get out of it. When you're obedient to him, he will lift you up and he will lift you out. And then this is the final thing that he does. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. He says in verse 3, I'm going back to verse 3 for a moment. He says, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Do you understand what David is saying there? This new song that David is talking about is when you're obedient to the Lord, when you're in the pit and you trust the Lord, you recall the goodness of everything that he's done, you're obedient towards him and he lifts you up. Guess what? The song that you sing is not only you're going to be impacted by being lifted out of the pit, but guess what? Everyone around you will be too. Because you're going to be singing a new song. You're going to be a canary what do they call it?
Coal mine.
Yeah, canary in coal mine, whatever. I guess that works. That wasn't what I was thinking, but that works. But you're going to be singing this song, saying, look what the Lord has done for me. And you're going to influence others around you by you being obedient to the Lord. See, when we are obedient to him and he pulls us out of the clay, we have something to say. You have a testimony. You have, if I can go back a few sermon series and say, you have a story to tell now. Because when the Lord pulls you out of that miry pit and puts you on dry ground, guess what? You can go back and say, hey, I was in that pit. I know what it smells like. I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. And it's not pretty, but this is how I got out. And guess what happens? You start to influence others. And the new song that you sing, this new song that the Lord has put in, many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Many people tell me, I'm not brave enough to share. I know that we're supposed to share our faith with people. I hear this all the time. I know we're supposed to share our faith with people, but I'm just not strong enough to do it, Lord. Or, Pastor, you just don't understand. And you know what I say to them? I said, then go tell them what God has already done in your life. Sing about that. Go, you know, listen, if you don't feel strong enough to go up to someone, you should be able to sit down with someone, by the way, and tell them how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know that, then listen, all of us need to be in discipleship and mentor relationship, but you should be easily be able to sit down with someone and say, these are the steps to follow Jesus. This is what you have to do. And if you can't do that, then you best darn get your butt into discipleship relationship with someone that can teach you how to do it. Because as Christians, that's what we're called to do. But if you can't do that, and you're in a discipleship relationship, learning how to do that, then sing of the goodness of what the Lord has done and brought you out of that pit and brought you to a place that He's placed you on dry ground. Will you stand with me, please? Can you trust in the Lord in the midst of a pit? Can you recall the new things that He's doing in your life? Can you recall the old things that He's done in your life? And then will you be obedient? What I believe this whole message comes down to, I think we can trust in the Lord, and I think easily we can recall the good things that He's done in our life. What it really comes down to is, can you be obedient? Because obedient means that we have to give something up, and no one likes to do that. But I believe this is the key to a lot in faith is our obedience. I happen to believe that most Christians don't grow to where they need to be because they're not willing to be obedient to the Lord and what He's asking them to do. They come with different reasons. Oh, I'm too embarrassed. I don't know who would disciple me. I don't know how I could do this. It takes a lot of time to read the Bible. It takes a lot of time to pray. Those are all excuses, by the way, so you don't have to be obedient. That's what they really are. Pastor, you don't know how long I've struggled with this sin. You don't know how long I've struggled with this issue in my life. Excuse. I'm going to call it like what it is. If you're obedient to the Lord and the Lord is calling you to get out of it, then guess what? He's going to give you not only the power to get out of it, He's going to give you the way out of it too. But you have to make a heart change to say, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow Him. Regardless of what He asked me to do. Even if He asked me to give everything up, I'm going to be obedient to Him. A few years ago, I'm going to end with this. Promise, Corey. A few years ago, I was in the middle of prayer and I was crying out to the Lord because I was just so frustrated with the things. The church wasn't growing the way that I wanted it to grow. It wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. I had all these beautiful plans and it just wasn't happening. And I was crying. I was whining, moaning and complaining to the Lord. Let me be honest. That's what I was really doing. And the Lord stopped me in the midst of it. He said, Jason, are you willing enough to be obedient to let go of everything? So what do you mean? Because if I told you to shut down the church today, would you do it? I said, Lord, I don't think I'm hearing you correctly. Are you sure you're saying that? And He said, you have to be willing and be obedient enough to walk away from everything if that's what I ask you to do. And I stopped and I said, Lord, you know what? None of that matters. Nothing matters. The church doesn't matter. What I'm going through doesn't matter. My finances don't matter. None of that matters without you. And so I will be obedient to the end to you. And so if you ask me to do that, I will freely give it. I haven't always been that way in my life and it's come back to bite me, I will tell you that. But I'm learning to do that today, to be obedient beyond all things with Him. Even when I don't feel like it. Even when I'd rather just sit on my lazy chair with my feet up in the air conditioning room and not worry about talking to another person. The Lord tells me to be obedient. I have to follow Him and be obedient. Even if it's something I desire and I want. The Lord says, no, Jason, that's not what I have for you. I have something else for you. I'm going to be obedient. We have to learn to do that today. Can you do that? Because when you're that way, can I tell you what you will be saying and doing will be a beautiful thing. It will impact many. The fear of the Lord will be upon people because they will see what the Lord has done in your life. It'll be an amazing thing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that we can be obedient to you today. We pray as David prayed, Lord, hear my cry. We trust that you're going to hear us. Lord, we know that you hear us. And Lord, you will call upon us. You will be inclined to us. And you will lift us up out of that miry pit. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask you in this place, right now, in this moment, help us, Lord, in the midst of our trouble, as the walls that we are facing and the pit that we find ourselves in seem to be daunting and overwhelming. We trust in you, Lord Jesus. You are the most important thing. And then, Lord, above and beyond that, we look back and just say, you have blessed us mightily, Father. We don't have enough time, energy, words, or even numbers to number the amount of times that you have blessed us. And that all leads to this one simple fact, Father. We need to be obedient to you and to follow you with all things. Lord, I pray today that as we're in this room, we can learn to be obedient to you. And if we're not, Father, may we ask you for forgiveness and may we realign ourselves and be obedient to you. It's okay if you're not. Listen, if you're here today with all of our eyes closed as we're praying, it's okay that we have messed up. I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but mistakes happen. And if you've made a mistake and you find yourself in a pit, it's not the end of the world. In fact, it's the beginning of what a great thing that the Lord can do in your life. And you have to hear that the Lord isn't punishing you. He's the way out. So be obedient to him. Father, thank you, Lord. Help us, guide us, strengthen us. Help us to see in the midst of this pit, our way out is you. And help us to be obedient at all costs to you, Father, no matter what that means. Humble us enough to follow you. Humble us to our very core. Convict us of the things that need to be convicted of so that we can be obedient to your ways and your will, Father. Lord, you love us enough not to leave us where we are at, but to guide us through that pit so that we can get to the other side and be closer to you. Help us, Lord. And then let us sing this new song that will come upon us to cry out to those around us. And they will see just how good the Lord is and what he does in us. It starts with a relationship in Jesus Christ. And so I invite you, if whether you're here today or you're watching at home online, to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe you have never done that before. Either way, it doesn't matter. What it means is that at the very first thing, you trust in the Lord. You trust what he did on the cross for you. You trust the sacrifice that he made for you. And you say, Lord Jesus, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, I confess with my mouth, Lord, I have not always been who I need to be. I've made mistakes. I've messed up. And here I am, Father. And then recall what he has done. You look back at Jesus' life and say, he has done something for you. What is that? He died on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and for making up and paying my penalty that I could not pay myself. And then believing in your heart, Lord, your way is the way, the truth and the life, and I will be obedient to the end of days. That's what Romans 10 verse 9 and also Psalm 40 says. And may we follow that together today, doing that. If you've never done that today, may that be your prayer today. And we invite you at this moment in time, as we sing this worship song, to come forward. We invite you to come down at prayer. If you need prayer for anything, we'd like to pray for you. But if you would like salvation and you would like to receive that, we'd love to pray for you as well, too. So as we sing this worship song, come forward. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name.
My Savior, the one who never fail. Thank you.
Really isn't whether the Lord will move. The question is, do we trust that He will move? And when we can sing songs like this, like, I trust in the Lord. Why? Because I cried out and He heard and He answered. The Lord loves to answer our prayers. But it requires us to trust in Him first. Do you trust in Him? Can you be obedient? Can you follow after Him? Can you seek Him? Because that's what He's asking for. That's what He wants. Go after Him today with all that you have. Seek Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You heard and You answered our prayers, Father. That You that our trust in You is not come back void. So Lord, we pray today, help us, no matter what we're going through, whatever situation we find ourselves in, to trust You, to follow You, to recount Your goodness, and to be obedient, to move forward, even when we don't feel like moving forward. Help us, Lord, in this place. Lord, You are doing a new thing. And it's a beautiful thing that's going to impact many, many people, Father. Because we have chosen to trust in you, to seek after you, to be obedient to you, and to follow you. Lead us, guide us today, Father, in all of these things and so much more. Help us today, Father, as we go forth from this place into our homes and into our communities to live the life that you've called us to live. Following you, being obedient to you. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. If you still would like to have prayer, we'd love to continue praying for you. But be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you again next week. Thank you.